From KBIA News in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations with Our Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. Today on Intersection, we're talking about graduate students at the University of Missouri here in Columbia. They come from the United States and all over the world and study everything from engineering to astronomy to literature. What some people don't know is that graduate students are also a big part of the university's teaching and research workforce. And full disclosure, I was once one of those graduate students here at Mizzou. As I once did, thousands of graduate students classified as graduate assistants and under a few other titles work 10 or 20 hours a week in addition to their courses, and they're paid by the university. That work currently brings with it a set of core benefits in terms of stipends, tuition waivers, and health insurance subsidies. But this year, MU made some very important changes to those benefits. Those changes caused a lot of commotion, and graduate students came together in ways that aren't often seen on this campus. In mid-August, graduate students got an email that the health insurance subsidy was canceled. It was less than 2 weeks before the new semester began. A week later, Chancellor Lofton announced reinstatement of the subsidy and that it would continue throughout this academic year, but that the future beyond that was unclear. Graduate student Christofferson Colmer, doctoral candidate and chair of the Forum on Graduate Rights, tells us how events unfolded.
At about 11 a.m., graduate students got an email saying that the university would no longer be providing insurance subsidies for graduate assistantships. And so that was 13 hours before the new plans were supposed to kick in. So this basically left graduate students in limbo as to what was happening. And this was without no forewarning. No one had any clue that this was about to happen. And so you can imagine the panic and the concern with a lot of students in terms of, you know, them being insured. There were a lot of students that I know who were going to see the doctor early that next week for either tests or surgeries or things of that nature that would have been covered under their insurance that they were unsure if they were going to be insured or not. And for a lot of students, that the subsidy, one of the main draws of them coming here, because that's an important benefit.
And how had the insurance been working?
So in grad school, if you're an incoming master's or PhD student with an assistantship, so if you're going to be teaching classes or if you're going to be doing research, if you're going to be working on a research project or something along those lines, and you're provided with an assistantship, that comes with a tuition waiver, and an additional benefit was an insurance subsidy. If you were a quarter-time assistantship, it was a half. If you were a half-time assistantship, it was the full subsidy. So for international students, that was valued at about $1,500. For domestic students, at about $3,000. So imagine losing that and now having to figure out how you're going to find thousands of dollars.
And how would you describe the mood among graduate students? Because soon after this announcement, mm-hmm. graduate students came together and started meeting to talk about what was going on? How are they going to deal with it? How was the mood at those meetings?
Yeah, so I'd say a whole wide range of emotions. So anger was one of them. Disbelief for a lot of people. Despair. Genuine concern. One of the things I'd say that was really apparent was students' genuine concern for each other. Because a lot of the students, especially a lot of the domestic students, one of the first questions they asked is, how does this affect our international students?
As the week went on, it seemed like the administration started to respond a little bit more to the graduate mm-hmm. students and recognize that this probably wasn't presented in the best way to the students because it came as such a surprise. How did that week unfold with meetings and with the administration?
There was, from what I remember, I believe we had a meeting with the chancellor. Did we meet the chancellor that week or the following week? We began to have dialogue with the administration from the Office of Graduate Studies, the chancellor's office, the vice chancellor of student affairs. So there was interaction there, you know, that week. But from that Monday meeting, the graduate students, when we had that forum, like I said, we didn't know how many students we were going to see there. there was standing room only, you know, in that auditorium in Middlebush. So there were 500 plus, you know, graduate students that showed up. And one of the main themes was that, you know, this the incident with insurance was just one issue amongst a whole host of issues that in recent years, and even beyond recent years, you know, has negatively affected graduate students. And so the consensus was that we needed to organize to have a response that encompassed not just the insurance, but all of these issues that affect graduate students. So low stipends, housing, on-campus early childhood education, you know, college and departmental fees, excessive college and departmental fees for grad students. So there was this whole host of issues that had been sort of bubbling up over the past few years, and even longer than that, but really over the past few years, that students said, we need the administration to address, you know, all of this.
Thanks, Christofferson. That was Christofferson Colmer, chair of the Forum on Graduate Rights. The reasons behind this whole health insurance episode are kind of complicated. Luckily, Rebecca Smith of KBIA's Health and Wealth Desk covered the healthcare episode as it unfolded, and she talked with me to break down the reasons behind it.
And so what it goes back to is kind of a bureaucratic mess, right? So we have the IRS back in 2013 issued this ruling that said that employers couldn't give individual health care coverage. They couldn't give their employees money to go buy individual health insurance. This was in hopes that the employer mandate could be it couldn't be worked around. This way, employers couldn't give their employees money to go buy individual health insurance when they should be offering group plans. So it was a combination of the IRS ruling and then a combination of the fact that the Federal Health and Human Services Department qualifies and classifies student health insurance plans, or SHIPs, SHIPs as individualized health insurance mm-hmm. instead of a group plan, even though they operate the same way. So I talked to a couple people in national organizations, the Council on Graduate Schools, the American Council on Education, saying that it was just this spring, I believe, or earlier this summer, that they got, quote, informal guidance from an IRS official saying this could in fact apply to graduate student programs or graduate schools the same way it applied to small businesses. And so when I talk to those national organizations, they say a lot of top-tier universities, research universities, flagship universities like Mizzou that really value research, you know, are really competitive programs tend to do this, tend to offer these kinds of subsidies. The added problem with this potential IRS guidance applying to, or this IRS guidance and potentially applying to graduate schools is that there's a $100 per employee per day fine. I mean, they were looking at thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars of fines if the IRS decided that they would apply this to graduate school or graduate student programs and graduate schools. So I think the university tried to make its best possible decision at first. They didn't talk to anybody, though, and I think that was a lot of the anger, was the fact that they didn't talk to anybody. They didn't, you know, talk to students about, hey, they didn't give students all the information, like why we're making this decision.
So to sum it up, the school grapples with IRS guidelines over the summer and ends graduate student health insurance subsidies affecting more than 3,000 graduate students who are classified as graduate assistants and under a few other titles. That results in outrage and organizing by graduate students, and a week later, the university reinstates subsidies for the short term. Fast forward a couple months, to last week, in fact, and Chancellor R. Bowen Lofton makes a statement at a faculty meeting. As the Columbia Missourian reported, Lofton said the university will offer eligible graduate students help with health insurance long term, but exactly how has yet to be figured out. PhD student Matt McCune of the Graduate Professional Council wasn't surprised by that decision.
The nation is watching what Mizzou is doing with our graduate insurance, and there is no way they could get rid of this. We already aren't ranked high enough in many areas, so to be competitive, we have to have that graduate student health insurance, graduate student employee health insurance, to be specific. So yes, we completely expected this to happen. It was really just waiting on the graduate insurance task force to, you know, put out some options, say this is what's going to cost. The university would then need to review them, say, well, this is what we can afford, and then they would have to make a decision. I really had zero doubts that we would have health insurance next fall. The problem, though, is that at no point has the chancellor ever come to graduate students and told us this. He told it to the deans. He told it to the faculty. The students, the ones who actually receive it, the ones who rely on it, the ones who, you know, and possibly their life depends on it, were never told and still haven't been told. Even after some public shaming on Twitter and other arenas, we still haven't heard anything. And I'm on the Graduate Professional Council Executive Board. I should have heard something. I should have received an email. I mean, it should have been instantaneous with the August 14th announcement that it was that we couldn't fund it for now. It should have been with that. We will figure out a way to do this in the future, not we'll explore possibilities. That should have never have been the announcement. They talk a lot about family. They talk a lot about how they care for us. Well, you don't treat people that way. You don't tell people, oh, well, if it's in our budget, we'll take care of you. And if not, well, those promises we made, yeah, we're just not going to honor those. That's not acceptable behavior. So do I believe that we'll have graduate insurance next fall? Yes, I do. I have no idea because the task force hasn't made that decision yet. And the university hasn't decided what they can and cannot fund. It's possible if they do try to roll us into an employee plan that the cost could double. We'll have to wait and see on that.
And it's not just health insurance that has changed this year. In June, there were some significant changes to the stipend and fee waivers.
Yes.
Could you tell us what happened there?
Well, what they decided was that quarter-time students, so students who are supposed to only work 10 hours a week but who work much more than that, would only receive a 50% tuition waiver. Currently, any graduate student employee receives a full tuition waiver, as they should. They are going to change the policy, grandfathering everybody in, but starting in fall 2016, any new graduate student employees on quarter-time, full-time equivalent, FTE, would no longer receive a full tuition waiver. It would go to 50%, which would affect over 600 current graduate student employees. It would affect roughly over 20%. So it's an enormous benefit that they're taking away from people.
And are those 10-hour assistantships or quarter-time assistantships concentrated at any parts of the university?
Absolutely. The majority of them are actually concentrated in three areas: business, journalism, music.
With the decrease in the tuition waiver attached to the 10-hour work week or quarter-time assistantships, mm-hmm. is that going to affect how many students the university is able to bring in or the caliber of the students into some of these programs that really rely heavily on them? Have you thought about
Absolutely.
That?
To tell a student that you're not going to receive a full tuition waiver, well, they'll go somewhere else. I mean, they'll still get students, but they won't be as high of a caliber of student. I mean, there are many programs in neighboring states that don't just offer this full tuition waiver. They offer stipends that are much higher than ours. So, you know, one of the few areas where we can at least be equal to them is by offering a full tuition waiver. So if that goes away, yes, we lose our competitive nature, especially for master's students.
Health insurance aside, there are other issues like housing and childcare that have graduate students concerned. Dr. Ernest Perry is a professor at the Missouri School of Journalism. He's also co-chair of a group called the Graduate Student Experience Task Force and told us about the work the task force is doing. Could you tell me about the task force, when it was formed, and sort of what it's doing right now?
Well, the task force was formed last spring. Mainly, it was a way for the university as a whole to look at the graduate experience from top to bottom. The chancellor, as well as the vice chancellor for graduate studies, Leona Rubin, wanted to sort of get a sense from looking at not only stipends, but to also look at housing, childcare, what they were doing in the classroom, how they were working with in research as well as teaching. Just look at the whole picture to see what would help make the graduate student experience better on the MU campus.
And did sort of the driving force behind it come from the administration itself, or were students asking the administration?
I think it was a combination of both. These are issues that the graduate students had been talking about for several years. And as a former member of the Graduate Faculty Senate, I was aware of a lot of those issues. And when Leona approached me and others to be on the committee, it was to take a look at those and come up with some recommendations that administrators could then look at to see what ways could they prioritize taking those recommendations and enhancing the experience for graduate students.
And as a professor here, you've worked with a lot of graduate students. How would your experience have been different had you not had graduate students working with you?
It would be, I would say, in some ways impossible, because we work with a lot of undergraduate students, and the graduate students help us in terms of managing the large lectures that we have, but also in some of our smaller classes, be they in the research labs or in the professional labs that we have in various programs. So without those graduate students, it would be very difficult for us to be able to meet both our research mission as well as our teaching mission as a Research One university.
And in terms of the Graduate Student Experience Task Force, what sort of research and data collection are you doing? What's the nitty-gritty day-to-day of getting through that?
Well, we've gathered information from a lot of sources. We're looking at sources from the AAU, sources from the SEC, sources from various other universities that we consider our peer institutions around the country. We've looked at various studies from think tanks, from associations that deal with graduate students and the experiences that they go through, both from a personal standpoint as well as from a professional standpoint. So we're gathering a lot of information and sort of going through it to see how it can help inform some of the recommendations that we're going to make when we get to that point.
And is Mizzou similar to other institutions of its size and stature in terms of graduate student life, or is there something that makes it stand out?
We're very similar to a lot of Research One programs in terms of what we offer and what we are, you know, basically what our students are doing in terms of their teaching and their research and the classes that they take. So in those ways, we're similar. What we're finding out also is that there's room for improvement in some of the things that we do in terms of housing, in terms of childcare, in terms of how we provide certain services to our graduate students, and a lot of that is going to be a part of our recommendation. We're still gathering a lot of information in those areas because we want to make sure that we have the most up-to-date information that we can use in making those recommendations.
And when do you think your recommendations are going to be made to the administration?
Our hope is to be able to make those recommendations by the end of this semester. That's the goal that we're working toward.
And then some action would come out of it potentially in the spring semester?
I would hope, but a lot of that is going to – that's something that the chancellor and Leona Rubin will be looking at, along with other administrators around campus, I'm sure. So once we make those recommendations, then I don't know if there's a set timetable as to when there would be some sort of movement on those recommendations going forward.
And the graduate students have seen a lot of changes this year. There were changes to stipends. There were changes to the health insurance, which was ended and then reinstated. And it seems that the graduate students have sort of come together and mobilized in response to those changes in some ways. Have you seen the graduate students as sort of united as they are today before in your experience?
This is one of the few times that I've seen where the graduate students have united, and it usually takes. I mean, graduate students are students of at any level. It usually takes something meaningful, like the stipend issue that they have this semester, or even more so the insurance issue, to unite them around a certain cause. And so I'm not surprised that they've come together in this. And in a way, they were all saying the same things and talking about the same issues for a while now, in terms of childcare, in terms of housing, in terms of whether or not the stipends that the university is providing was enough to help them both in their professional as well as in their personal lives. So those were issues that they had been talking about for years. And part of what we began looking at in the spring as a task force, what magnified that was was the insurance crisis that occurred back in August and September, and the stipends, which we've been talking about since the summer.
Do you think people really understand graduate students' role on campus?
No, I think that there's a lot of education that needs to take place, both on campus and off campus, about the role of graduate students and what they bring to the university, and what the university also offers to them, and why these things are necessary. If you're going to compete in today's higher education environment, especially at the Research One level, there are certain things that you have to have in order to be able to attract the best graduate students. And those are a lot of the things that we're talking about and trying to come up with recommendations for on the task force.
Now, some students are calling for a move they think will strengthen graduate students going forward, a union. Eric Scott is a doctoral student in the English department.
The best thing that we can do is we can have a graduate student labor union. I, along with Connor Lewis, who is a PhD student in the history department, we're the co-chairs of the Coalition of Graduate Workers, which is a campaign to organize a graduate student labor union here at the university. And I think that having that kind of negotiated labor contract is the best thing that we can have for us, because it represents an actual, you know, contractual guarantee that we will have certain protections and certain benefits. And it also means that if the university chooses to arbitrarily change something, then they have the union and the union's, the union's might, I guess, to deal with, instead of it being a situation like we had right now where, 3,000 individual graduate students all found out that they had lost something that they were planning to depend on. And then there was nothing really that we could do about it on an individual basis. So I think that having that kind of union agreement would be best for everyone involved, for us and the university, because then we can negotiate things on a level playing field, and it's no longer one individual poorly compensated graduate student against the entire university, but rather a negotiation of relatively equal parties.
Is there a precedent for grad students unionizing at schools that are similar to Mizzou?
Oh, sure. Lots of universities have graduate student labor unions across the country, particularly at public universities. Right now, there's this movement to try and get graduate student labor unions organized at private universities too, but there are some legal precedents against those that I'm hoping get overturned, but. So the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign has a successful graduate student union at the University of Iowa. There's an extremely successful one. So lots of universities that are pretty similar to Mizzou in terms of demographics and geographical locations are doing quite well with graduate student unions.
And what do the unions do at those schools? Like when you talk about them doing well, what are they doing?
Well, so... Those schools tend to have a considerably better compensation for their students than we have. They have guaranteed contracts, which is very important. It's not necessarily that we hope that a union movement will lead to suddenly all of us getting like enormous pay raises or anything like that, but rather that we will have protections for the things we have. And so there are grievance processes, for example, where if a student at one of those schools experiences some sort of mistreatment at work, then they can report that to the union, and the union can help them resolve it. The process for starting a union is, first off, that we need to get a certain number of signatures of people within our bargaining unit, so that would be the graduate student employees of the university, who say that, yes, we want to have a union election. We want to be able to vote on whether or not we want to be represented by a union. Once we get enough signatures for that, then we will turn that in and an election will be held by a neutral third party. And then should we win that election and more people say, yes, I want a union than not, then we should be legally recognized by the university and we can proceed into contract negotiations.
Thanks, Eric. And for the final course on this week's Intersection Menu, our community outreach team of Kara Tabor and Helen Tien talked with graduate students around campus about their lives.
My name is Cecil Scheiss, and I am a member of the PhD program in mechanical and aerospace engineering. And so this will be my first semester in the doctoral program. I did my undergrad and master's at Prairie View in Houston, so I've come a long way from the hot sun down here to the cold weather in Missouri. The joys of being a graduate student is that the equations that you see as an undergrad student all start to make some kind of sense. So you get to learn kind of the origin of all of the, you know, numerical solutions you use, and, you know, you just apply these equations, but why? You know, you get to learn the why. So that's what I love about it the most. And what else you have going on in life, me particularly just working, you know, and going to school, that's been the biggest issue. But it definitely teaches you how to be efficient with your time. And if you can master that, then you can go far. Fortunately, I also work, so I get health insurance there. But I can say that that's definitely an area that needs to be looked into and constantly evaluated by students and voiced by the students, so that, you know, you get the care that you need while you're in school and learning, etc. So,
my name is Chuka Mizwe. I'm a graduate student with the Master of Public Health and also a dual master's with the Public Affairs at the Truman School.
Of the problems and challenges that grad students face, which of those are you most concerned about?
It was definitely the insurance situation. And there have been calls to have some kind of organized effort to help grad students to address issues like this. Someone's got to speak up for us based on all the wonderful stuff we do at the university. But yes, it was the insurance situation. And it's good to think of that in the past tense as something that has become a solved problem. But then again, there are nuts and bolts that we need to address, basically. I think also the racial issue, which, I mean, Missouri is becoming a petri dish of a lot of racial tension, a lot of isms. It's not just for race, we're talking about sexual, gender, minority groups. There's got to be a lot of work done to address that. And I know there have been recommendations, there have been prescriptions, there have been task forces that have been set up. But hopefully all of this come up with recommendations that are implemented. It's one thing to have all this beautiful things going on, then it's another thing to actually enforce. Well, you can't enforce, but actually implement recommendations based on all of this task forces.
So my name's Danny Barbier. I'm studying health administration. It's my first year. One of my biggest worries is, I would say, not being prepared for the workforce. You can learn so much through classwork and discussion, but it's one thing to be in a class and another to be in the actual workforce and get that experience. And I think my internship will do a great job of getting me acclimated to the healthcare field and kind of knowing what to expect when I get to the workforce. But until I get there, there's always a little unknown of how I will actually perform in the workplace. So that's always been a pretty big worry for me.
Thanks, Helen and Kara. And thank you for spending your time with us here at Intersection, conversations with our community. I want to thank our producers, Katie Eisterhold and Eileen Lee, and our community outreach team of Helen Tien and Kara Tabor. And of course, thank you to our guests, Christofferson Colmer, Rebecca Smith, Matt McCune, Ernest Perry, and Eric Scott. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection, right here on KBIA 91.3 FM.